to episode 265 of the AFK Podcast for the week of May 11th, 2020. I'm your host, Flynn, and this is the PC Gaming Podcast from Gamers Like You. Joining me this week are my co-hosts, Whitney.
Hello.
And Logan.
Hello.
And no Curlin this week. He had something more important to do. I'm assuming. So let's get right into our playlist. I hate to say this week after week, but I've been playing the same game week after week, and I don't really have any... I promise that by the next podcast, I will have started another single-player game that I can actually talk about. So I don't have to say I've only played Call of Duty this week. But it was double XP weekend, you have to understand. And they extended that out into the week. And
that means you got to play twice as much.
I know. So I got my season level all the way up to 100, and my level up to 155. So I don't have to grind as much now on that. I can do other things. But by next podcast, I promise listeners that I will have a different game to talk about other than Call of Duty, even if I have to make shit up. What about you, Logan? What was on your playlist this week?
I'm in the same boat as you. I've played only StarCraft II in the past week because I had some computer troubles. And so I decided it had been a number of years since I reinstalled Windows. So I did that. And it's been a number of years. And now I remember why I don't reinstall Windows so often, because it's a huge pain in the butt. I know that having an SSD makes it a lot quicker, but it doesn't make it any easier. So
you're using Windows 10, right?
Yeah. But I mean, when you're installing Windows, it is always a good idea and best practice to not have any other drive hooked up to your motherboard.
That's true.
I decided, it's been long enough that I've been doing this. We're just gonna go bareback it and just dive straight in. And so I wiped out my 1 terabyte gaming drive entirely, only to be followed up by wiping out my 2 terabyte gaming drive entirely. So I've got no games at all downloaded anymore, but I do have a nice, clean, fresh copy of Windows installed.
Hubris. It was your hubris that did you in.
And so I had to stop the install after about 30 minutes and go all the way back to the beginning, unhook everything, pop my video card out, because in order to get the SATA cables, I got to get the video card out, and then start it all from scratch again. It went quick.
Good job.
So, yeah. Well, now as we're talking, I'm downloading a bunch of new games. So upcoming this week, I will be playing a ton of Xbox Ultimate Game Pass games. So they've got MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries on there. So I got that. And I'm also downloading a ton of the Gears of War games. So I've got Gears of War 4, Gears of War 5 Ultimate, and then I've got the new Gears Tactics that I'm going to be trying out. We'll see how that goes in the upcoming week. And I think I said this last week. I was thinking about taking a day off just to take a me day. It's been very difficult with everyone in the same household here all the time. But I think I'm going to speak to the wife and just we'll work something out where she'll get a day and I'll take a day, and then wait for a rainy day when it's all crap weather out, and then just, you know, sit down and play vids for the day and just, you know, remind myself of why we do this. And what else did I do this week? I finalized the purchase of a new TV. So I've got that.
You did.
Hopefully.
I thought you returned it.
Exactly. So I bought one, and then there were looming layoffs, so I said maybe not the best idea. And then I waited a couple weeks, and then I said, you know what, it's been a couple weeks, things have stabilized, I haven't heard anything else, I'm gonna go buy another one. So immediately after having that thought, an announcement came out that, oh, by the way, we're having a mandatory vacation policy implemented. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's put a hold on that purchase once again. And that afternoon, I had a chat with my boss, and they were like, oh, no, that's not for us yet, but just a heads up. And that was another couple weeks ago. So I'm like, all right, I see this deal. And I actually took that deal, and I went into the local shop down here. And I showed it to the guy there, and he's like, oh, yeah, no. If this deal is for real, then you need to buy this right now. And like, I'll tell you that wholeheartedly. And so I was like, oh, okay. So it's actually a model down from the original one I had gotten. So I'm a little bit bummed about that, but it's also a thousand Canadian Monopoly dollars cheaper. So with the difference in the price point, and it was, and I freely admit this, it was a bit of FOMO, a bit of fear of missing out, because I'm not sure what's happening with the marketplace. So COVID's impacting everything. So it's a very much a tipping point of, are there going to be super sales because no one's buying right now, or has the supply chain been impacted to the extent that there's going to be limited supply and prices are going to go up? And I do not want this year's model. This year's model is actually technically a little bit worse off than last year's. The software enhancements are better and the actual chip use is better, but LG, for whatever reason, they decided they capped their HDMI 2.1 ports at 40 gigabytes per second rather than the maximum 48, which is what the C9 offers. So I thought that was like, yeah, I don't, because that's the difference between your full color gambit using VSync and not being able to use your full color gambit. Now, that's about the extent of my knowledge right there. I can only regurgitate that as I've read it. I don't actually understand the impact and the implications of that. I don't know what that translates to visually. Regardless, the reason I decided to go the price lower in the end is that it's the same panel on the B9 as the C9. Behind the scenes, the processing's better on the C9. It's got a better chip, and it's... overall, it's a little bit better, but it was very conflicted reports on, can you actually see a difference? And my eyes are absolutely trash. So you know what? I'm going to pocket the extra $1,000. I'll pick up a console when they come out in the new year, and I'll just ride both sides of that fence. So that's going to get delivered this week. So I've got some work to take this one down, clean up this area. I've got to do a whole cleaning session back here. Not just cleaning, but reorg everything in the office.
All the things. Reorg all the things.
Yeah. And just to top off the week, I decided to buy 100 new games.
Oh, wow. What?
Yeah.
New games or new old games?
New old games.
New old games. Okay.
So I caught wind of this deal that Square Enix, you know, I never know how to say that. Is it Enix or Enix?
Enix.
I always say Enix, but...
Enix it is. All right, so Square Enix had a, and I don't know if this is still on, but had a Steam sale. Their entire catalog for 95% off.
Holy cow.
And Steam, I gotta say, Steam has really been awesome. And I think they stole this one from GOG, because I think GOG did it first, good old games. They give you a rebate on the games you already own in the package. So even though I owned like 25% of the games, the original cost for me and my Monopoly dollars was like $45. But because I owned a bunch of them, it was $31. And there were at least four or five games in there that I was always looking at and whatnot. So I'm like, okay. So I bought them. And now, of course, the total was 91 games, but that's also counting each individual DLC as a game. So I think the actual total was like 40-something or a high 30 actual games themselves from the Square Enix catalog. So, yeah. So I picked that up this week.
Holy cow. Yeah, that's a lot of games. That should keep you busy.
Yeah, I just got to play them now.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Was Nier in that?
You know, I don't know. Give me like a couple minutes to bring it up and look. Because yeah. It was one of those things where I just started looking at it, and the list was so long. By the time I even got halfway, I'm just scrolling now, because I'm like, what is in here? But Nier Automata.
And, you know, you'd mentioned your... messing around with Xbox Game Pass beta, you know, one of the things that really bugged me about that was they don't let you select a folder to install your games. They want you to select an entire drive, and then they lock the files so you can't do anything with them.
So what you have to do, and this is what caused me problems today, is you can select a different drive, mm-hmm. but you have to go into your Windows settings in order to do that. And it just blows my mind that you have to go into a Windows setting rather than your software settings in order to do that. I'm like, what the hell?
See, I'm OCD about my file organization too. If on my game drive, it says Battle.net, it says Origin, it says Steam, it says Ubisoft or Uplay. And all of the games from those, you know, from those game clients, they go in those folders. Windows just puts a shit ton of folders onto whatever drive it's using, and then you're just stuck with these random folders that you can't do anything about. It bothers me. It's my OCD. I have to have everything in a certain order on my PC, or it drives me nuts. But
yeah, I agree. Like, what I like to do is I like to put certain I was going to say consoles, but certain publishers and certain my Steam games on one drive, my Xbox games on a different drive, because I'll play them differently and I'll want to preserve them differently. So like GOG games, which are, you know, largely retro and small, I'll just throw on my C drive, even though I'll reformat, well, obviously every few years now, but I'll wipe it out every few years. I don't care, because it's such an easy and quick download, right? So that's why I like to split those up. And no, Nier Automata was not part of it, unfortunately.
Aww.
But it was 54 games. Yep. Plus DLCs.
Good deal. Yep. Good deal. Whitney, what was on your playlist this week?
Well, speaking of Nier Automata, I finally finished.
Sweet.
Yes. And oh my god, it was so good. I'm sad Curlin's not here.
Was
so
it a bittersweet ending?
It was. And I said goodbye to all my game data. I gave it up.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know. Oh.
No.
Uh-uh.
So one of the big spoilers, if you haven't played, just tune out for a few minutes. But one of the things at the end is, like, if you want, like, the true ending and whatnot, is you gotta give up your game data. And now all through this, it asks you several times, and it puts it in different ways. Like, are you sure? But yep, at the very end, you watch as piece by piece your whole entire game data just disappears. And I think it's literally everything. So if you had several save files, I think those went too, but I only had the one. So I've restarted the game already, but it was definitely bittersweet, and it was definitely worth it. I don't say that often, because like I would normally cry, and I did cry a little bit, but it was for good.
So, a real-world consequence to your in-game choices.
Mm-hmm. That's what the game's about. And you could say no, too. Like, if you don't want to give it up, that's totally fine. But if you want that ending.
So now what happens? If you go back and you decide you want to play it again, you have to start from scratch, eh?
Yep. I don't get a chapter select or everything, and I've restarted the game. And
so there's a different ending depending on whether or not you give up your data.
Huh.
I would think so. I'm going to find out, I guess, at the end of this one, but I don't think you see like that true ending. I think you're just able to go back and do the chapters with the different characters. So like in this playthrough, like that's where I would be at. I don't need to see the true ending again. I'm not going to go through all this work and delete all my files.
Oh,
I'll
wow.
do it one time. So, and like it was really good. It was, and it plays into the whole theme and everything.
Wow. I mean, that's the first time I've heard of anything like that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't heard of it.
No, I hadn't heard. I never read up on it or anything, because it didn't look like, you know, I watched some gameplay, you know, for like 5 minutes, and that was it.
Well, I guess now that I've played the game, I could kind of talk about it a little bit. So the whole thing about the game is like, there's a lot of philosophy into it, and like the choices and. You could say there's three chapters or three different parts. So three different parts that you play through. The first one is 2B, the second one is 9S, and the third is A2, 9S. And I will say there's this one fight towards the end that is absolutely a lot of fun, where you switch back and forth between A2 and 9S, and just the way that it was laid out was really, really good. But either way, so the first two playthroughs pretty much are the same story, but two different sides. So you're pretty much playing through the same story, but it's for a good reason. So like by the end, you know, at the very end, it all comes together in a very nice way.
I've got to play this now.
You totally got to play it.
I got to play it now.
Like all this time that I've played about it, and now that I've finished the game, I could truly say it is one of my favorite games of all time.
It's on sale periodically. I think I missed the last sale, but
yeah. And then like I would imagine it's going to pop on sale a few more times, especially with the new one that's going to be. So I'm pretty hyped because I'm still really new into the franchise. I'm really like excited for what comes of the next. Yeah, it has 20 and there's 26 different endings, but like the first five are like this, I would say the story endings, and then the rest are joke endings. So like one of them is if you eat a mackerel. Just and I'll leave it at that. And you know, you got to find them. I didn't get all 26 endings by the time that I finished. I kind of rushed through. And so now this time I'm really taking my time and I'm searching every nook and cranny and want to get all the weapons and everything. So, but before it was like, holy crap, I need to know this story. I need to continue. And it's really, really good.
Yeah, I need this game like now. So if I have to pay full price for it, I will. But I've definitely got to get this game now. I love games where choices matter. To have a real life consequence like that, this is just, man, I can't wait to try this game.
Everything from the graphics to the music, it is absolutely beautiful. And there was times in the game I was crying, and it elicits an emotional response at times. I'm sure not for everybody, but for me, I can be a big softy, and like I love characters like Pascal. So yeah,
I've gotten emotional about games that I've played. The one that comes to mind is from, and I've talked about it before on the show, is Mass Effect, the newest one, the one with the Andromeda. Andromeda. In the very beginning, caution spoilers here, in the very beginning, something happens and the father and son are on the planet surface and the son's helmet is cracked and the air is getting out and he's dying, and his father walks up to him, takes his helmet off and puts it on his son, and then his son passes out and his, you know, father passes away, he dies. But that hit me like right here, because I've got a son. Yeah. You know, so any dad who watches that is gonna have an emotional reaction to that, like yep, would do the same thing. So yeah, that's great when I love it when games elicit an emotional reaction from the player.
Exactly. I was gonna say, like, it's wonderful, and I think this game does a really good job of that. And I'm so happy I played the game, and I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't like finish it and I took my time on it. So
nothing wrong with that.
No, but now that I'm like, oh man, it was so good. And by the end I was like, I don't know how to explain it.
Didn't want it to end.
I didn't. I was kind of sad too, especially after there's some really good highs and there's some really lows, like really deep lows. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Oh, can't wait to check it out. So in the news this week, sorry, I'm trying to adjust my chair.
Adjustments must be made.
Yeah, in the news this week, we didn't really have much news this week, but there was a little bit. Minecraft RTX gets a beta. I don't understand. Is Minecraft still a big thing? I mean, I don't really hear about anybody playing it. My kid used to play it, but he hasn't touched it in like years.
Yeah, no, it's still big, and my son still plays it from time to time.
I played it. It was fun to play around in for a while, and then I kind of got bored with it, and just moved on. I messed around with the mods, you know, making the textures look different and stuff like that. I got really into it for a little while. We had like a server going and everything, but yeah, I just kind of got bored with it, and it's still just Minecraft.
No, the so this is an RTX release, ray tracing. And if you look at the side-by-side comparisons, holy crap, does it make it actually look gorgeous. Now, it's still a blocky environment, right? But in terms of the colors, like it really brings out the colors, makes them pop, and the way that it's handling light is super interesting. I'm actually very, very much anticipating the next release of NVIDIA cards to see if I want to pick one up now, simply because of both the RTX ray tracing that's on them and for the TV to see if I can get variable refresh rates working on it. But yeah, if you look at the side-by-side comparisons, it's amazing.
It does look really good.
So I have a 2080 Super in my main rig. I sold my Radeon 7 and bought a 2080 Super for my main rig. And I've used the ray tracing. The only ray tracing game I have is Call of Duty. And it does look good. But if you asked me to point out to you in the scenes which scenes are ray tracing and which are not, I couldn't tell you unless there was a side-by-side.
Yeah. And sure. And, you know, the same thing could be said for Minecraft. If you just booted into it and you'd never played Minecraft before, you'd think it just looks pretty good with the ray tracing on. But, I mean, the same thing can be said about a lot of things, right? Same with, I don't know. I don't know where it's going with that. But it is what it is. Like, it still makes it look gorgeous. Yeah, there's not enough games that are using ray tracing right now, but I hope that if all of them get this kind of boost from it, oh yeah, have at her.
Yeah, and I sold my Radeon 7 because I am a Radeon fan, and I've bashed NVIDIA in the past because of their prices, but the reason why I sold my Radeon 7 was because Radeon's drivers were shit for months, and I kept getting black screen errors, and they wouldn't fix them, so I didn't want to constantly have to not play or play games and have them have this black screen error. So I ended up buying NVIDIA cards. So Radeon, you need to keep up with your drivers and fix the problems. Your users shouldn't have to wait 3 months for a patch.
Yep.
Still rooting for you. I still own other Radeon cards, but it'll make me question which one I get next time I purchase, for sure. So native Super Mario 64 PC port is coming with DirectX 12 and ray tracing. I never thought the day would come when we'd see Nintendo games on PC. This is legal?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, there is nothing legal about this whatsoever.
Okay.
It's legal from an educational standpoint. So they got the code, finally decompiled it, and then recompiled it to run on PC. And it's super interesting to see what they've done with it and what they're going to do with it in terms of emulation as well. It'll probably help the emulation community take a few steps forward as well, with Nintendo products getting them a bit running a bit more smooth. But yeah, it was really cool to see it. So this is not so just to take a step back, what they're showing here, it's not an emulated thing. This is the actual game itself running on it, as compiled as it was expected to be. So yeah, it was pretty interesting that they were able to do that and get it done.
I'm pulling up the video now. So
yeah,
I don't understand. Usually Nintendo is quick to sue for this kind of stuff. And if if it's not legal, I can't imagine we'll be seeing this, even this video they would have taken down if they could.
Yeah, I kind of don't know what's going to happen there, but you're pretty bang on. It'll be interesting to see what becomes of this over the next few weeks.
Like, we'll probably even get a copyright strike for having this footage on. That's how aggressive they are. They're terrible when it comes to IP and copyright. But yeah, it definitely looks interesting. It's too bad it's not, a legit thing. I would love to see these games ported to PC. Oh, one of the videos is gone already. Looking at the website.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of them's taken down already. Our next article is from PC Gamer by Andy Chalk. It details complicated relationship with Doom Eternal composer and won't work with him on DLC. What's this all about?
This is a whole lot of dirty laundry that I don't know if they had really had to, but in the end, they threw it out there in public. So where to start? So let's start at the beginning. Mick Gordon is the composer for the majority of Doom's music and sound. Not just Doom Eternal, but a number of the Doom games prior to it as well. He's won a number of awards, and it's very much seen that he's the Doom guy when it comes to sound and music. So for Doom Eternal, they entered into a contract with him as well, stipulating certain things about music, sound, etc., and expectations. And for whatever reason, he missed dates, he missed milestones, he missed expectations. And so it had no real, so that I'm just going by what's written in the letter, right? There's always two sides to every story. Id had no choice but to go ahead and get their own lead audio guy involved to try to get a bunch of stuff together, because they, on their side, had made promises to early buyers that, you know, what they would provide with DLC regarding the OST, which is the original soundtrack. So a lot of the community noticed that there seemed to be stuff that wasn't quite right with the audio, whether that be the composition of it or the way that it was mixed. So that's why they decided to come out with this letter to say, hey, just to clear the air, here's everything that happened. The letter, the open letter, seemed rather factual on dates and point notes. It wasn't really taking shots at Mick so much as just being very clear about, you know, we set these dates, he had these milestones, we made these communications, they were missed. We had these concessions with them. We had bonuses input into the contract. And in the end, he missed it. And so they're like, yeah. The real telling line at the end of it is, we have struggled to connect on some of the more production-related realities of development, while communication around those issues have eroded trust. For id, this has created an unsustainable pattern of project uncertainty and risk. And so they will not be moving forward with him in the future on projects. So as far as him and Doom are concerned, while id still controls Doom license, he will no longer be the Doom sound guy.
Wow. Well, at least it didn't devolve into the point where, you know, well, maybe it still could, where legal action's taken and the game could be delayed. That would be terrible. I guess that'd be the worst case scenario, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, unfortunately, I'm as base as the rest of them when it comes to enjoying drama here and there. But really, it was interesting from a business and contract point of view, because they seem to be rather open with some of the stipulations in the contract regarding dates and performance bonuses. So I thought that was a good look into, you know, and I'm taking it at its face value that, you know, dates were set and he missed them. Communication seemed relatively open. It wasn't, didn't seem like there were daily or weekly updates from both parties, but in terms of, hey, we're reaching out to you because your deadline's coming up, and him getting back to them going, oh, listen, I might need a couple days, or, oh, I know everything's due today, I might have it to you tonight, kind of stuff. So he did communicate, but just, I don't think, as far as it's been reported, he didn't communicate the exact status that he should have. He still tried to cover his ass.
Yeah, a little Freudian slip there. You've been reading The Dark Tower?
Yeah, pretty much.
The deadlights.
Yeah.
So Diablo 2 Remaster is also in development for late 2020 release. It seems to be the year of remasters. They just keep coming.
You don't want a Diablo remaster?
No, it's another thing for Blizzard to fuck up.
She's got a point. She's got a point.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Diablo 2 is one of those things that hold a special place in my heart. I used to play that and fight with my brother so hard over the PC. Like, that was my game, and I had, like, it's just so many hours of my youth wasted on that game. And just with the way Blizzard's been, no, just don't touch it. Just make it available for me to play and leave it at that.
Fire Duck says it's for mobile. LOL.
Well, you all have phones, don't you?
Yeah. Well, what was the last one they remastered that everybody was pissed off about? It was Warcraft 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to trust? Do you think?
I think Whitney's really hit it in the fact that there is no more trust, right? So Warcraft 3 was a great example. When they released the remaster of Warcraft 3, they removed the original Warcraft they had up there. So people that were playing that and it worked for them, whose systems were not technically capable of playing the remaster, were shit out of luck. Their game now no longer worked for them. So Whitney, you've hit it dead on the head. Like, I don't trust them anymore. At first I was excited, looking forward to it. And then I'm like, yeah, maybe not.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. Just from my standpoint, like, I'm not going to give them any money. I'll find a way of playing in its original.
Yeah, same. I mean, I didn't play Diablo 2. I played 3. I enjoyed my time in it, but I'm done with it. My son and I played through it. I played through it on the PC, then I played through it with my son on console co-op with the PlayStation 4, I believe. And then we also got the expansion, and we didn't end up finishing that one, but it was a lot of fun to play in co-op, for sure. I don't know why. So Diablo 2 doesn't hold a special place in my heart because I never played it. I have no interest in going back and playing the remaster, really, personally. And after the things that Blizzard's done recently, you know, saying one thing, showing one thing, and then it end up being another, I don't really trust them at this point. And I can't imagine many other people do. But also, you know, in Blizzard's defense here, could they make this, and you know, in this day and age, you're gonna have voices that hate it regardless of how they do it, because internet.
But right? The thing though is, like, but they've proven themselves otherwise time and time again. Like, they are the Disney of the gaming world. They're reaching for a franchise and trying to make some money off of it at this point. And just frankly, with the things that I've just over the past couple of years, I'm done. Like, I'm not touching WoW anymore. I'm just going to keep the happy memories that I've made and just leave it at that. Yeah. And just like, and the same goes like for Diablo. But same. Just overall, until I feel like they do some real deep internal searching, they need to get some creativity back. They need to get their groove back, and they need to really focus on something. And I thought for a while it was Overwatch, but
I don't know. If they get this right, I'll do it. I never played the original. I shouldn't say I never played the original when it came out. I played the original a couple years ago for a few hours, and I enjoyed my time around in it. But if they remastered that, yeah, I'd definitely play it, I think, if they did a good job with it.
Well, like, if they did it and it came back, everybody was like, holy crap, then, like, oh my goodness, you need to play it, then yes, I would totally play it. Don't get me wrong. But other than that, like, I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, same here. But you know what I would like to buy remastered is the Mass Effect trilogy, which is reportedly coming within the next year.
Heck yeah.
I've replayed those games a few times, and I still enjoy them.
I've heard so many good things about the Mass Effect franchise that I'm hyped for a remake like that, because if it's really good, then I would definitely give it a try. I always give something a try once. But, like, compare it to Diablo 2, no, I'm good. Especially after, like, Final Fantasy and that remake. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the Resident Evil remakes so far have been just looked amazing. And, you know, what I played of Resident Evil 3, it was a good game.
I want to play it so I avoid watching anything about it so I don't spoil anything.
Logan, you hyped for a Mass Effect trilogy remaster?
I think I played 5 or 6 hours of the original, and it was all right. I never got into the story much. I didn't play it for long enough, but yeah, I definitely play it. What I didn't realize is when I played The Last of Us, I played the remastered version of it, and I really think I enjoyed it more than I would have playing the original. Mm-hmm. Seeing some of the gameplay of the original, I'm like, yeah, that's right. It looks dated, and Mass Effect's in the same boat. Like if you play it now, especially the original, it's like it's dated. It's blocky. So do a remaster? Yeah, I'd give that a go.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, you should put that to the top of your list if you haven't played the Mass Effect trilogy. It's amazing games.
No, after Nier, though. It has to be after Nier.
After Nier.
Yeah.
Sometime within the next year. Fiscal year 2021.
And Jerry, I misspoke. I didn't play 3, I played 2. Thanks for helping me out there. So, speaking of Resident Evil, Resident Evil 8 is reportedly the darkest, most gruesome entry yet, so much that fans may be shocked. This is from Nathan Birch over at WCCF Tech. I mean, you'd have to get pretty dark to top stuff like The Evil Within 2. Those were pretty gruesome and dark games.
I can't play them because I get spooked like way too easily.
Yeah, I don't do horror games. Nope. Oh.
It has to be like during the day and whatnot. Like,
oh, it's my favorite genre. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'll turn the lights off, and you know, God forbid anybody walk into the study while I'm on the computer playing these games and touch me on the shoulder because I'll probably scream and start swinging. But yeah, I love being scared, so I love these games. The more gruesome and bizarre and twisted, the better. So I'm looking forward to this. I doubt there's anything they can show me that's going to shock me, though. I really do.
That's not for me. That would be a whole YouTube series on itself. Logan plays.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd watch that. Speaking of gameplay, we watched the Assassin's Creed gameplay trailer last week, and we all kind of commented, I believe, that you know there really wasn't much gameplay in that. It was a pre-rendered trailer, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla Creative has admitted its gameplay trailer needed more gameplay. You know, we commented that it didn't have enough of the Assassin's Creed franchise in it to look like an Assassin's Creed game. So hopefully we'll see some more gameplay or a gameplay trailer with actual gameplay.
I mean, I was kind of okay with that because I kind of feel like it's just going to be another Assassin's Creed game. So I already know what I'm kind of jumping into. What I was more interested in was the story. And I kind of liked everything I saw from the trailer and everything I've heard thus far since then.
Well, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox had its event last week. All it was it ended up being just a ton of game trailers back to back to back. They had a new trailer, which was, you know, 75% recycled stuff from the Valhalla trailer again. And it they said gameplay trailer, but I don't know which part was actual gameplay. Which, you know, if I buffer that with how God of War behaved, it was very, very seamless and smooth when God of War transitioned from cutscene to gameplay. So it's true, we might be looking at gameplay and not realizing it, and maybe that's going to be the big surprise for everyone at the end, because it looks awesome. You know, I'd play the crap out of that for sure. So
yeah, it looks great.
We'll see what it looks like when it gets here.
So that's all the news for this week. What's everybody streaming?
Still working my way through Star Wars The Clone Wars. Still trying to get to Season 7. And unfortunately, I had it spoiled. I don't have the details, but I saw a picture. And it was still just an innocuous picture, but it made me think that they did something. So I'm not going to say anything more, and I don't want anything to say anymore, just in case. But I should probably be finished Season 7 in the next couple weeks. So right now I'm still at like season 4, but I'm powering through that with a smattering of Archer on the side every now and then.
Yeah, we just started The Community. We never watched that, so we started that. It's on Netflix. And we're only about 7 or 8 episodes into season 1 and so far, and it's been pretty funny. We've been enjoying it. And then my wife's been watching the Outlander. And I kind of got sucked into Outlander. And
Outlander's good.
It's basically softcore porn half the time.
It is.
I'm like, what the hell are you watching?
But it's eye candy for the ladies. Please let us have it.
But the dialogue, I like well-written dialogue, and the show does have a lot of very well-written dialogue between the characters. And so I kind of got sucked in. I ended up watching a few episodes with her yesterday, most of the day yesterday, I think 6 episodes or so. But man, I don't know how those actors could. That's got to be uncomfortable, and there's just so much of it in that show. It's just crazy, like literally softcore porn.
Kind of no different than Game of Thrones, really. Just
yeah, never watched that one.
But you never watched Game of Thrones?
No, I gave it a chance. I watched a couple episodes, and it just wasn't for me.
I'm going to wait for the new TV because I heard about the crap ending with the colors. So I want to see what it looks like with the proper blacks on an OLED and see if it makes it any better. But I haven't seen any of it. But right after Clone Wars, we'll do that one.
Oof, can't wait to hear what you think of.
What are you streaming, Whitney?
Well, there was the finale of Westworld. So I won't speak too much on it right now I won't speak too much on it in case spoilers, but to be honest, I was more hyped about it earlier on in the season. I felt like they kind of knew they were going to have a 4th season, so it was just this, the way that was done, and especially if you've seen Westworld, you know what I'm talking about, especially this one scene, it harkens back to this one iconic movie. And that scene, and it's just like, really? Couldn't have done better than that? And so by that point, I just kind of tuned out, and I had to go back and watch the 2 special after-credit endings, because they got to add those in. By that time, I was kind of over it. Other than that, I hadn't streamed a whole lot. I watched a really weird movie last night.
Oh?
It was, I'm going to try and say it. Vivarium. It has the Jesse. He was in...
Jesse Pinkman?
No, he was in Zombieland.
Oh, yeah.
Eisenberg?
Yes, him. Yeah. Sorry. Mm. The last name was escaping me. But he was in it. And that movie was really strange, but it was really interesting. It was really weird.
What was it on? Netflix or Hulu? Prime?
I don't know if I could say. It was on Plex.
Oh. Yeah, you could say. I mean, it's not like we're running a Plex server or anything like that.
No, I didn't know, but, oh. You know, there's a server. I'm sorry. I'm being naughty.
As far as I know, Plex is legal. I mean, they're still operating.
Hey, you know, I don't know anymore. I don't have any business with it. I watch my shows and that's it, and I live my life.
I think you're safe. My FBI agent neighbor says they go after the big fish.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not worried about the little fish.
But I watched that last night, and that was really interesting. But it was really weird. And I feel like you got to go in the mindset of knowing that it's weird, so you know what you're expecting, or else you're just sitting there like, what the hell? And I was watching it right before bed, so it was just...
Oh, God, yeah. Can't do that. That's when you have messed up dreams.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. It was a really weird night. And just... But other than that, I enjoyed it. It was really good. Just, I probably would have watched it earlier on in the day, and just not as I was laying in bed going... But it's been a slow week. I've been kind of just diving down the YouTube rabbit.
All right, well, that's all we've got for this week. The AFK Podcast is a production of 10-6 Gaming Community. You can find the AFK Podcast at theafkpodcast.net. There you'll find links to our Steam group and more. Again, join our Discord if you want more PC gaming and hardware discussion. That's where we hang out. So for me, for Logan, and for Whitney, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for being here, chat room. Jerry, Fire Duck. Thank you, guys.
Peace.